Dr. Paul, welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors and Science Under Fire. Today's show, I have an interview with Mom Susan, who shares her heartbreaking story about what happened to her son after the hepatitis B vaccine in the hospital. I then have a powerful interview with one of my heroes, Kevin Jenkins. He's one of the Disinformation 12, and he brings a message of hope. He talks about how to overcome fear, about what it's like to be human, and he really taps into how you grasp your God courage. We then close out with Bernadette, who talks about what's new in the news. Enjoy the show. Hi, folks. Dr. Paul here from Against the Wind, Doctors and Science Under Fire. You need to know about the members only area. So this is a way you can support the show because this show is not having any sponsorship whatsoever. We are beholden to no one. And the reason we can bring you information that you really aren't getting anywhere else is because it's supported by you, the viewers. What you get, however, in this membership section, for the first month, it's absolutely free. And after that, for a good cup of coffee for $4.95, here's what you get. I've written two amazing ebooks. We will have Q&As live with me. We have transcripts of every episode. We have full episodes and other well-edited episodes that are not in the main show. So you get exclusive content, and I will also be posting exclusive videos sort of from the cuff when I have a thought that I just feel like I want the world to know about, or if I read an article that's like, wow, this is important, people need to know about it. All of this will go in the members only section. So join the team of Against the Wind, be a part of the solution our world needs, and sign up as a member and support our work. Welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors and Science Under Fire. Folks, it is my privilege to bring to you Susan and her story that is, it's heart-wrenching. And I know this is hard for you, and I really gratitude for you being willing to share this story. Tell us what happened.
I was lucky enough to get pregnant. And I think it's kind of important to start at the very beginning of that. I'm lucky enough to say, in one sense, it was an easy delivery. And he was gorgeous. And our hospital believed in something called the golden hour. So right from, you know, as soon as he came out, he was on top of me. They don't clean him. They don't touch him. It's just you and the parents. So we had about 5 hours together before they even came in to wash him up or do anything. She came in and she's like, okay, I'm going to take him now. He needs to get his hepatitis B shot. She called it the Hep B. And I didn't know what that was. And I said, what is that? I didn't remember that being on any of the papers or any of the tours. I don't know about this one. And she said, oh, well, if you don't give him that, you won't, your doctor won't see him. Your pediatrician won't see him tomorrow. And I was shocked. And I was like, oh, okay. It does not matter how many times I say this, right? And I gave him to her. And instead of continuing to look that shot up, which I wish I did, I started looking up symptoms of being deaf in a newborn. And then I started freaking out because he hadn't gotten that test yet. And I didn't know if he was deaf. And that's what I was, went down on my own, that version of a rabbit hole. That's what I started looking up instead of what does the hepatitis B shot, what does it do? What is it for? And so she came back with him. I wheeled him with me into the bathroom, and he was, you know, just whatever, and came back to the bed. And as I was getting back in the bed, I look over, my husband's sleeping on the little crappy couch that they have there for the parents. And, he's purple. He's totally purple. And I freak out. I'm at the end of the hall. I'm at the last room of the hallway and I'm screaming. He's not breathing. I was able to get the nurse clicker. She comes running in. And at that point I had now ripped open up his swaddle, and she grabs him from me and she whacks him on the back a bunch of times, and he starts breathing and he's crying. And I said, what did you give him? And she's like, no. And I said, he was fine for 5.5 hours. And she goes, he didn't turn blue. So there's no brain damage. I need to understand what was that shot. And she goes, listen, honey, that's not the case. It's not that. She's like, you just need to settle down. They kept us an extra day. because it was happening. It happened every hour on the hour for the first 24 hours.
So he would just stop breathing.
I felt like I was telling on her when the pediatrician came in. I was like, well, that nurse yesterday was like, when I told her this happened right after she took him for that shot, that vaccine, she told me that it was from a fast birth. It took me 6 pediatricians later and 9.5 months, because he suffered from this breathing spell, this fast birth issue, for 9.5 months.
Tell the audience what his trajectory has been, right? So you had these spells of what we would call in medicine apnea. So he stops breathing. If you stop breathing long enough, you turn blue. You witnessed that many, many times, it sounds like, for the first 9 months of life. But how did he do in other areas of development? And just, you know, sort of quickly take us through what you've had to experience that appears to be as a consequence of that vaccine.
Right. So he has some tics now. So he's got a lot of these things that come across his face as like facial tics. He's had them always. He has a flapping that he does that is a constant worry for me. He's 4. And if you look at any type of diagnostic, they all say that that's something that goes away by the age of 2.
Some of the developmental things that we look at closely when we're concerned about possible vaccine related issues might be early on in infancy. You've got the eye contact thing. Did he have good eye contact?
He did. He had, it was a weakness, right? Right. So she just kept saying it was a structural weakness.
How was his social? Was he a happy, smiley, social baby? And
he was. Luckily enough, this is what everyone kept saying. So when I finally found the nine months, when I found our functional peach, she's like, you dodged a bullet, yeah. You know, cause she's like developmentally wise. She's like, I see the excitability. I see the flapping. I understand. He's still sensory. He has some sensory stuff where if it's too loud, and he was always like that as an infant, yeah. He was a really light sleeper in this, obviously, cause you know, he stopped breathing. So if the lights comes on, he wakes right up. He's on, any type of noise situation is still an issue for us today.
Hypersensitive to noise, to light. How about to touch?
Touch is okay, but he has a texture thing with eating. So like no chicken, no meats. He's not a huge fan of any of those. We get through better when we cover everything in cheese, which I'm saying to a doctor, but I will tell you, like, in order to get some things in, he had a texture issue with his mouth because he also has lip and tongue tie.
Yeah. Well, what you're sharing is when I'm with a family who have a story that just like yours is, you know, our children are just who they are, right? So we just love them for who they are, and we're going to nurture and do everything we can to help them be successful in life. And we don't go through life with a banner across our head that says ADHD or autism spectrum, or I've got glitches. We all have glitches, some, but you do bring up some things that are, you know, we weren't seeing these things as pediatricians 30, 40 years ago, the flapping, the hypersensitivity, the sensory issues. You know, these are things that some might say are very mild on the spectrum, right? Of autism spectrum disorder. And you're well versed in this, having autism in your family, so you know what to look for. I reassure parents who come in with these stories and just say, hey, we're going to call these glitches and we're going to do everything in our power to, you know, recover, right? Basically to do everything we can so that, you know, if that was an injury, and certainly your story is very compelling given the timeline, I would agree with your ultimate pediatric assessment that if it was due to rapid birth, those symptoms would have been present immediately, right? So, and that can happen, a really rapid birth. Yes, you don't get the fluid out of the lungs, so kids can be a little bluish, struggling to breathe, but that's right from the get-go. It's not a normal 5 hours, get your Hep B vaccine, and then boom, you start having apnea. I mean, you've got a pretty clear-cut case of cause and effect, and data in the literature and my own experience supports that there is, in some cases, a cause and effect. So your story is not unique, but it's so important that it be told. What if I might, in sort of in closing, thank you so much for sharing this story. I know it's hard to do. Maybe in closing, what would your advice be to new parents or parents to be? Because I think your message there is probably the most important message they need to hear.
Yeah, I think the one thing is that, you know, for those that have gone through this, I would say for all of us that have gone through something similar, always risk the relationship. This is the time to share your story, risk that relationship, because I wish my godmother risked our relationship. If you are looking to have a child and bring a child into this world, I would say anyone should take a minute and just ask for the insert. If you don't want to even do Dr. Google, if you don't want to read what you think is a propaganda piece or all of those what I call terms that, you know, are there to silence, now is the time to just ask for it yourself. Ask for it yourself, because the hepatitis B, starting with that one, should show the absolute insanity of the schedule that you're looking at right now. And it is worth asking that one question to save 1,000 heartaches.
Yeah. So the vaccine inserts, sometimes the nurses at the hospital will get one for you, but oftentimes they won't. You can, this is where you can go on Dr. Google and just
look it up.
Hepatitis B package insert and read the ingredients, read the risks. I can tell you as a physician who's looked at the data, that one vaccine, the newborn series of the hepatitis B, is the most damaging because it's such a high aluminum dose at such a tiny age, right? When the body is so small, the immune system is so vulnerable. And the tragedy of it all is, so we moved that vaccine from teenagers to newborns in the early 2000s. It was about 2000, 2001. Right. Kids born before that got it as teenagers, if they were born in the 90s or 80s. So when we did that, the idea that was sold to pediatricians to make them do this was, well, we're going to create a population that's immune to hepatitis B. Well, we've known for 10, 15 years, that doesn't happen. The vaccine only gives you about 10 years protection. So when kids who got this series as an infant are sexually active, or God forbid, shooting up and sharing dirty needles, when that's the real risk, being sexually promiscuous, they won't have the protection when they actually need it. So if you're going to do that vaccine, as long as birth mother does not have hepatitis B, that should be done when they're teenagers or preteens, at least certainly not as newborns.
Right.
So use your common sense. Physicians who might be watching this, at least think about that, right? I mean, just remember medical school and hepatitis B and who gets it. Look at the CDC data on who gets hepatitis B or how many Americans have hepatitis B. 1% or less, it's actually 0.1% of mothers delivering in America have hepatitis B.
But we're in check. I was negative. I'm hepatitis B negative.
Yeah, you did not need that vaccine. Well, your final words for our viewers.
Stay strong, because you're the only thing your child has between you and the rest of the world, all the way around, from medical interventions to the vitamins that you give them to the food that you're putting in them. If you're worried so much about what they're learning in school and what they're eating in their mouths, you better take a minute to really understand the healthcare that's out there and being provided. You're all they have.
Amen. Mama bears and papa bears out there, it is your responsibility to protect, and you're the only one that can. Thanks for your time. Thanks for your attention. Thank you, Susan, for your very, very important share today. God bless you.
Thank you.
Welcome to Against the Wind, Doctors in Science Under Fire. I'm Dr. Paul, and I am so excited to be back with Kevin Jenkins once again. We were together at the Capitol in Oregon, in Salem, for a vigil, and you were the keynote speaker there, and I was just so blessed to be on stage with you. You are Grandpa, and your grandkids call you Big Daddy K. You are such a medical freedom warrior. I am honored to say that you are in the disinformation dozen. Yeah. Those are some of my heroes, literally, because you're speaking truth that is not wanted. And so you get labeled as disinformation. And anybody who doesn't know about that, take a look at what these people are saying. Take a look at, listen to Kevin and just listen with your heart and see if it doesn't resonate as actual truth. I know you're a social epidemiologist. You focus on inequities in health. When you were last with me, you mentioned being CEO of the Urban Global Health Alliance and co-founder of Freedom Travel Alliance, which you can certainly update us on. So welcome to the show.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much, Doc. I really am excited to be on the show with you. We haven't had a chance to talk since I left Oregon. And since I left Oregon, as I was telling you before we got on the show, that I have been to 57 cities in 39 states. Wow. And last year, I mean, which is really interesting. Last year, I traveled all through COVID, you know, back and forth to Colorado, back and forth to California, back and forth to New Jersey, trying to get a better understanding of, you know, we already knew this was going to happen. We already knew this tyranny was at our door, but to really get a deeper understanding of what America was thinking about and trying to help America move past their fear, you know, to start getting singular focus on not just the fear, but how do we win? How do we push back? How do we educate communities all around the country? How do we protect our children? How do we get the right information out there? Because as you know, between the education cartel and Big Pharma News, you know, they were anything that was different than their narrative. Now they're going after doctors and saying to doctors, like, look, if you don't take this experimental biologic, we're going to take your license. Now they're saying, you know, by the way, we're going to go even further. We're going to take your ability to travel if you don't take this experimental biologic. So from the community I come from, that's segregation. That's racism. That's what the corporation of white supremacy is. It's not because you're white, Dr. Thomas, is because, you know, this structure, this construct is created to wipe us all out, not because I'm black, not because you white, because they don't value human life. And that is some of the things that I wanted to get a better gauge on and start having a bigger dialogue. And at the Urban Global Health Alliance, we're single focus on changing the culture of health in this country. That's the single focus through advocacy, education, and public policy. You know, and at the Freedom Travel Alliance, that is our response to the world and saying, we're not going to allow you to take anything from us. We're going to build our own airlines. We're going to build membership. We're going to be creative. We're going to build a new world. We don't want to be a part of the old world because we see how horrible that old world was, because now what COVID did is open up our lens, open up our eyes, to open up our third eye to what's happening in the world. So we no longer can live in denial. Yeah. About what this is about.
How is your airline project coming along? Because I see the passports coming. I see the restrictions coming very, very quickly.
Well, that's a two-parter. The Freedom Travel Alliance is coming along well. A lot of people don't know we've only been in existence for 8 months. 8 months, and we have 4,000 members already. And what we're getting ready to do is we're getting ready to do a capital raise. We just did our first inaugural flight from Ghana to Florida. And we're trying to be very conceal a lot of that stuff because, you know what happens when you put it all out there. But what we've been doing is giving people information, building the platform, giving them, the opportunity to see that it's going to be great to invest in a company that's getting ready to do a capital raise. We're trying to raise $14 million now to buy our own planes. And we realized during the charter aspect of it is helpful, but you have to have your own planes. And so that's what we're doing right now. And we're moving very, very quickly. We have a great international team from London, from France, from Spain. I mean, we got everybody on that team from all around the world, including America. But just think, in 8 months, we've assembled some of the best marketing, best customer service, best people on the planet from all around the world. And majority of our members, believe it or not, are from Europe.
Yeah. Well, Europe is waking up and you see greater protests there than here in the US for sure. I remember when we were together, you had a really important point about the fact that they're selling fear. What's the solution to that?
Well, the solution for me is a spiritual solution. I mean, I tell everybody when I'm speaking around the country that I want them to inhale God. That is the motivator for you. If you can inhale God and exhale fear and take action, I think that it will allow you to be able to move in a quicker way to understand that all of the things that we hold dear to us is on the line now. You know, the very essence of society, the very essence of humanity, the very essence of our lives are on the line. So if you can inhale God, it will push you past your fear to create the right change that you need for yourself. What I normally would say to them is, I kind of figured out this formula now, Doc. And I was thinking about it as I was traveling around the country, because I got to see so many beautiful people, so many loving people, so many people that are not buying the race narrative, so many people that are seeking the truth, so many people that are trying to find the answer. So one of the things I came up with just by listening around the country, because I'm speaking to thousands of people. You know, I've spoken to thousands of people. So I've done a poll of America. So I can basically tell you what Americans are thinking, because I've been with them.
Tell us.
And what I've been saying to them is, the reason why we are in trouble is because we've lost our God consciousness. And when you lose your God consciousness, you lose your ability to see God's face for the right answer. And then when you lose that, you lose your God courage. And we have to dig deep on this one. We have to go deep inside so we can ignite our God courage to fight against this tyranny. Because this is something that none of us has ever seen before. We've seen remnants of it. You know, we've seen it. But this, it's all colliding now.
Yeah.
You know, the tech industry.
Yeah.
The prison industrial, all of the complexes, military industrial complex, you know, major media now, big pharma news, at the education cartel. They have all the line. The globalists have done a great job. They've done a regulatory, you know, I told somebody all of the regulatory agencies of this country have been hijacked. So yeah. Stop looking for answers from them. So yeah. They have all compiled that to push against humanity and to destroy humanity. But yeah. We still have the power. See, if we don't surrender to fear, we win.
Yeah. It feels like to me we are in a unique time in history where so much of the world is no longer faith-based. And I don't want to scare any of our listeners off that this is a God thing or a specific religion thing necessarily. Just understand that if you don't have a connection to, let's just use a generic higher power, right? What you're calling God, and I do believe in that God and higher power. Don't get me wrong.
I know.
But I think for many people listening, maybe that's just too, they're so disconnected anymore. That's where this fear comes in and can dominate. And then when big, powerful institutions can say, hey, we have the answer for today, it's the COVID vaccine. This is your answer. Here's the fear. Here's your answer. And if you don't have a connection to that, I sometimes will use love. I remember when we finished our time together and you closed out so beautifully with inhale God and exhale fear. If somebody no longer has that God connection, everyone understands love. So if you can inhale love, just a really deep inhale and exhale fear, it's exactly what you're talking about. And people can get in touch once again, right? Folks, we have got to get in touch with that connection, and then you are fearless. Yeah.
But you're right. You know, one of the things I've been finding, I haven't been in New Jersey in a long time. I try not to come here. I have a loving family. I have a wonderful wife of 28 years I've been married to, and we're all on the same mission. Our family has always been focused about fighting against injustice, but also building new communities all around this country, particularly in Newark, New Jersey. And, you know, I'm very observant now. I talk a lot because I just have to talk, but I'm very observant and I'm watching people around me. And I'm asking everyone, okay, now that you've either complied or you've done, if you haven't complied, do you understand what this is absolutely about? This at the core of it is about human slavery. That's what it's about. It's about control. It's not about your health. But do you understand that same hospital, that same doctor, that same community that we had so much hope for has now been purchased? The Black church has been purchased. It now works for the government. The Black elected official 95% of the Black elected officials in this country have been taken over, and they now are guard dogs for the oligarchs. And they are now selling garbage as hope. And they are now doing what Margaret Sanger did with Black leaders in the 1930s by getting them to sign on and take money to suggest that Black Americans should have abortions, which is a part of the genocide, which is a part of eugenics. Now, think about that. I'm 58 years old. You know, I'm a baby of the civil rights. I'm a civil rights baby. I saw the transition from, you know, no rights to some rights to some rights to civil rights. But now we're fighting for human rights. You know, it's very interesting for me. So I'm looking at all of these Black Americans and I'm saying, you haven't seen this before. You haven't seen this before. You haven't seen a chronic illness in our community because of our relationship with some of the white coats that have divested themselves from their Hippocratic oath. Are you suggesting that you haven't seen the failing schools and the infrastructure of education crumble in your communities that still have your kids trapped in poverty? Do you not see how the financial system now is trying to align itself with all of this tyranny, that they're partners of tyranny to take what? Our ability to earn, our ability to bank, our ability to be able to build anything new in our lives because they're going to control us.
Yeah.
Have you not seen this before? There was a time 60 years ago that I wouldn't be able to go into a diner because they deemed me unclean.
Yeah.
60 years ago, I couldn't drink at a faucet because they deemed me unclean.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was in Southern Africa. I grew up in Southern Africa, Rhodesia. It was just like apartheid. There right. were whites only swimming pools. There were whites only drinking fountains, as you said. The train there had a first class, second class for whites, third class, fourth class, which was just a cattle car for the native people. And in, of course, you know, the history of apartheid in South Africa, you had to have your papers, your passport to be able to move around. What do you think's coming, folks, with these vaccine passports? I know you hate that word, vaccine passport.
Well, I call it slave passports.
Yeah.
You know, listen, slave passports, that's what I call it, slave passport. But here's the deal. This is what I mean when you're unconscious. This is what I mean when you lose your God consciousness, however you want to put it. Because if you were connected to something greater than yourself, it would be right in front of you. You would see it. You would understand it. And so we've done a very, very poor job in the last several decades of being connected to something greater than ourselves. We're now connected to MSNBC, mm-hmm. Fox News, yep. CBS, yep. Yep. the agents of propaganda, right? So that's what we listen to. Mm-hmm. So when I'm talking to people out there about this experimental biologic, and I say, well, why did you take this? Well, because they told me. Mm-hmm. Who is they? It's very interesting. Who is they? I'm going to give you a little story if I can. I was doing my 5-mile walk before I went on the tour, maybe a little later than that. But I was doing my tour. I'm doing my 5-mile walk because I can't run anymore because of football. I got all the injuries that a football mm-hmm. player has. But I was walking and I saw this elderly woman sweating profusely. I mean, just I thought she was just going to faint right there. She had the mask on her face. She just couldn't go any further. And I walked up to her and I grabbed her by her arm. I stopped walking. I grabbed her by her arm. I said, are you okay? She says, son, I can't breathe. I said, well, take off the mask. She says, son, I can't take it off because they told me so. They told me not to take it off. Mm. Now, think about that. Here's a woman that probably was raised in early 50s. She saw what Black Americans went through. Mm-hmm. And she still, in her mind, is enslaved by the very thought that somebody controls her and told her what to do. She never said the name. She said, they told me not to do mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. That broke my heart.
Oh, it's so tragic. And so many people are getting all their information from the propaganda on television or social media. So what is the solution for folks? I mean, we already see 2/3 of the country has fallen to that messaging and have taken the COVID vaccine, for example. I don't want to tell them they're wrong, but at the same time, I want to invite them to a freedom journey. How do we get there?
Well, of course, you know, the most sexy thing I could say is by educating them.
Yeah.
And I mean, you can do that all you want. I'm here about giving them the plain truth. When you do that, and when you make that decision, you no longer have control over your humanity. When you do that, and you make that decision, you have now become a slave. When you do that without any thought, you now have lost all your freedoms. That's it. I am of the opinion that I have to tell you the truth. Because I asked him one question. Why did you do it? Well, I did it because I didn't want to get sick. Well, interesting. This doesn't stop transmission. So I'm going to ask you again, why did you do it? Well, it gets back to this, because they told me to do it. Mm-hmm. See, I think that, you know, scientists and doctors like yourself and people like you have put your life on the line, put your careers on the line, put your families on the line. You know, you've done a phenomenal job of laying out the truth, laying it all out there. Now, people can dispute it, but the truth is the truth. It's not two sides to the truth. It's only one side. I always tell people, there's no two sides. There's only one side.
Yeah.
And all of these great doctors like yourself and Christiane Northrup and Larry Plesky and all of you, Tenpenny, I can go on and on and on, right? You guys have set the playing field for me personally, where I can have the right information, but I take that information and I drill it down in a very simple way to say, if you continue to do this as a group of people, if you do this as an individual, there's no return from this. You will be a perpetual slave. They will put you on one system that will control your movement, control everything you do. See, so for me, I've taken everything that you have taught me, that masterclass in science, and I'm drilling it down and saying, here's your actionable steps to take. If you don't take those actionable steps, I'm sorry, guys. There's nothing I can do for you. But there's some high frequency people over here that are paying attention, and I got to get to those people. I got to give them some courage. I got to give them the right information. I got to continue to stay informed. I got to continue to inspire them. I got to continue to tell them that if they pay attention and if they get connected to something greater than themselves and they seek the right answers, they can have the right outcome to save humanity, save society, save their children. You know, because it's not about health now. It's about your direct. Listen, the interesting thing about it is they're planning to rewrite the DNA of our faith. The DNA, the language of faith. That's what they're doing. You know, so for me, I've been a little tougher, Doc. I got to tell you, I've been tough. I tell people every day, I'm not here to make you feel happy.
Yep.
I'm here to tell you the truth.
Yeah. I'm going to just add to what you just said and say this. As a physician who's been very aware of vaccine injury and very aware of the growth of the vaccine program and seeing harm, you know, every day in my office, I can tell you this. You can at any time draw a line in the sand and say no more. And so that is what I would encourage those of you who've already had a vaccine that you wished you hadn't had, you can draw a line in the sand. Now, to let you kind of close it out in a way, I loved your statement about we are all human. If you could just expand a little bit on that, because I think it's so unifying and I want to end on a positive note for people.
Well, we one of the things I've been dealing with over the last couple of months is dealing with the issue of race. And, you know, I find it very interesting that the same people that are trying to have a race discussion, you know, in this country, it's just completely horrible. Because think about this for a second. One of the things I've tried to get people to understand is that we've all been racist because we're using the language of the construct of racism. We use the language too much. I say, Dr. Thomas is my white friend. You'll say Kevin is my black friend. And I'll say that's my Jewish friend. And I say, oh, black people in their neighborhoods, they really don't know. They're poor. And, you know, white people, they're evil. Well, that is all a lie. I've traveled across this country. I've talked to these people. There might have been some differences. There might have been some different perspectives. But we all came down to one core thing, that we are all human. And we're right now in a fight for humanity. And if we don't join hands and partner together, we will lose that. We will lose the very thing that God gave us, right? The ability to be free, the ability to be human, the ability to be connected. And what I normally do is I tell people to close their eyes and inhale and exhale God and fear and exhale fear. But I also tell them to hug one another. Mm-hmm. Because, see, when you hug one another, that's the human contact. That breaks the fear.
Yeah.
You know, that links us together.
Yeah.
That brings the force of God in the room or at that moment, because they tried to take that away from us.
Yep. I can second that. And, you know, you and I have hugged, you and I have, and that's recently, despite the fact that supposedly COVID's out there to kill us, you've traveled the country and probably you've gotten COVID and gotten over it. I don't know. I can't remember.
Yeah. Yeah, I have. I got and got over it.
Yeah.
And, absolutely.
And, yeah. And natural immunity is the way to go, folks, that you were given an amazing immune system. It does require some support. And so, you know, you can go to the frontline doctors, you can go to the FLCCC, you can see protocols to support your natural immune system. But there's nothing better than getting fear out of your life. And I think that is the most important message you've got for us. We remove fear, we insert God, we insert love, and we move forward united. I think, wasn't it MLK who talked of community over chaos?
Right. That's right. That's right. And you know, that's a defining question. What are we going to do in the 21st century? Are we going to just, I got the book right here. Where do we go from here?
Yeah.
Community or chaos. But you know, I want to leave you with something. I interviewed Tony Roman from California, the restaurant owner, yesterday. I haven't done a lot of interviews since I've been back a little bit, but I did this interview. And he said something, Tony Roman from California, Huntington County, he kept his restaurant open. He kept it open. He never shut it down. He never compromised. He never asked for permission because he's a human. It's his business. He stood his ground. I was just so proud of that. And I was so impressed with him. But he said something: science does not dictate freedom.
Amen.
I will never forget that.
Yeah. And so I think maybe a closing thought you might leave with us about the fact that we have some inalienable rights, bodily integrity. And when that's being challenged, when that just basic freedom is being challenged, you've got to resist, right? You can't just give it away. What would be your closing thoughts about people retaining or fighting for their freedom or loving themselves enough to remain free?
Well, I got to tell, first of all, I want to tell them they're not alone. There's a whole country out there. Turn off your TVs. Stop looking for someone that's selling you garbage's hope to tell you the truth. Stop looking to the sky for someone to rescue you, because you have the power. Nobody needs to empower you. And all of those freedom fighters out there, I want you to know that it's been written long before you and I were born that these challenging times and that we will win. Grab onto that big vanity and continue to do it. And don't worry about all of the people that are telling you you're crazy. They said Jesus was crazy. They said Martin Luther King was crazy. They said Malcolm X was crazy. They said every great human being that stood against tyranny of their time was crazy. But when the book was closed, when the final chapter came, everybody knew they told them the truth. So here's the deal. What monuments do you want to have left about what you did in moving in the future? Is it going to be a monument that said that we lost because we stayed trapped in fear? Or is it going to be a monument of victory? And I want to thank all of those freedom fighters for standing up for me and my family, standing up for my community. And I hope that we can all continue to jointly work together, because we're winning. We're not losing. What they did in France yesterday was incredible. I mean, they didn't go into the restaurants. They had picnics outside the restaurants. They took back their power, right? And what we have to do is stop compromising. Don't go into the restaurants that tell you you have to show your health records, your vaccine card. That's racism. That's discriminatory. That's segregation. They're saying you are unclean. I come from a group of people that had to fight against that narrative and still fighting against that narrative in this country. But my ancestors, even though they came in the bottom of a ship, even though they came across the Atlantic in the bottom of a ship, even when they opened up the doors, and normally when you open up the doors and you receive light, you receive something great. What they received was horror. But on the flip side of that, what did they do? They fought for this country every day. They sacrificed for this country every day. Their bodies were commoditized to build this great republic that we say is the greatest country in the world. And now we're going back. So I'm fighting for my grandchildren. I'm fighting for my children. I'm fighting for my wife. I'm fighting for my grandmother, Lily Mae Jenkins, and my parents who taught me everything. I'm an ancestor of slaves. I'm a descendant of slaves. So I have to fight back. And all of you at home that are connected to something, your family, your children, your community, you have the right to fight for your rights and to stand up and be free. And all of those people that say you're crazy, guess what? MoveOn.com, as my mother would say. You don't need them because you got right on your side. Yeah. You got right on your side. So MoveOn.com. Stop trying to convince the low frequency and start working with the high frequency people to save the planet.
Yeah. Freedom has never been easy, folks. Freedom is right. Has been won and lost over and over again. And this is our time. We invite you to join us. Stand for freedom. Resist when you must. But really, you're already free. So don't give it up. Don't give up your freedom. Join us. Inhale God. Inhale love. Exhale fear. And let's link arms. Kevin Jenkins, what a pleasure to have you on the show. Thank you so much, brother.
I can't wait to see you again. We're going to see each other soon.
Absolutely. Let's do that.
And God bless you.
Well, welcome, Bernadette. You are Informed Choice Washington and Informed Life Radio and so much more. Thanks for being on today's show.
Let's listen here.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine is FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us.
So,
wow.
You know, September 9th, 2021 is a day that will go down in history as one of the worst days in the United States of America, where the president of the United States basically announced war against 80 million plus Americans, as well as any elected official who didn't go along with his approach. It is also the day that marks the turning point of us beginning to end this madness, because the overreach of this president and his refusal to follow the science and actually save Americans with how they need to be saved. He's waking everybody up with this. Vaccination rates have declined since he gave this speech.
There's this systematic approach to all of us who try to bring you the actual science, the real data. The Board of Pediatrics, the Board of Internal Medicine, and the Board of Family Practice have all made it come out with a united statement that physicians who spread what they call misinformation or disinformation should have their licenses removed. And
this just shows the systemic capture of healthcare by industry. I just want to click through quickly here and show you then, and I encourage people to go to openbears.com to get the most recent, because, you know, it's updated every week. But just to give you an idea of the numbers, these numbers here, they begin reporting, separating out. You can look at all VAERS reports, no matter where in the world they were generated from. And then also look at the numbers that are specific to the reports from US, occurring in the US. But you can see the numbers are growing, staggering, unprecedented. And here's a chart that shows that they are unprecedented. You look at from 1990 all the way up to 2020, and you see the average number of deaths reported per year. And that's for all vaccinations.
Yeah. Brenda, when you see that graph, and folks, mm-hmm. if you're watching this, this is a catastrophe. Vaccines are supposed to develop specific immunity that works. It's not. They're supposed to prevent transmission. It's not preventing transmission. I could go on. This is brand new technology, never been used in a quote vaccine, and it's altering the body's chemistry, really, your genetic code, so that you yourself make the toxin, the spike protein. We have never allowed a vaccine, if you're going to call it that, this dangerous to stay on the market.
No, never. And, you know, look at the interesting dip in 2020, between 2019 and 2020, a real drop in deaths prior to the release of this vaccine. Why would that be? Because during so much of the lockdown, a lot of vaccinations stopped. So all the other vaccines were not uptaken as much. And so you see a plummeting of the numbers of deaths reported post-vaccine. And then we've got these genetic injections coming along, and there we go. Yeah. And, you know, I'm told by people who know about statistics and how to analyze it, that when you have a pattern that looks like this, where the deaths reported after exposure to a product are clustered within the first couple of days, that's a massive safety signal of causal relationship to the exposure. It's right there.
There's no question. It's not a coincidence, folks. We've got the information. We've got the data. These shots are causing tremendous harm. And I know what you and I are worried about, Bernadette, and those of us who are really informed on what's actually going on, is the yet to come massive autoimmunity that's going to be experienced by those who are vaccinated. Autoimmunity takes months, years to develop. And so you've gotten the vaccine, and I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. We will help you if you've gotten the vaccine and you've been harmed or you develop autoimmunity.
Exactly. And we're going to get to that in just a second here at the end, because we're going to end on a hopeful note. But I did want to say that President Biden promoted the antibody treatments for COVID at the end of that infamous speech. You know, the president is only showing one treatment. One treatment is being promoted and allowed, and now there's going to be a massive shortage. I encourage people to go read that Forbes article. It gives a lot of good details. What I really want to finish on here is from orthomolecular.org. This is a fantastic organization of doctors who really understand the physiology of the human immune system. And there is a commentary by Thomas E. Levy, who's both a medical doctor and an attorney. I just want to read a quote here. Although the mainstream media outlets might have you believe otherwise, the vaccines that continue to be administered for the COVID pandemic are emerging as very substantial sources of morbidity and mortality themselves. While the degree to which these negative outcomes of the COVID vaccines can be debated, there is no question that enough disease and death have already occurred to warrant cessation of the administration of this vaccine until additional, completely scientific-based research can examine the balance between its now clear-cut side effects versus its potential and still not yet clearly proven ability to prevent new COVID infections. Those are very strong words. And then this is equally important. Even as the COVID pandemic appears to be slowly subsiding, many individuals are now chronically ill with long-haul COVID and/or with side effects of the COVID vaccination. It would appear that both clinical situations are primarily characterized by persistent presence of the spike protein and its negative impact on different tissues and organs. Treatment is aimed at neutralizing the direct toxic impact of spike protein while working to block its ability to bind the receptors needed to hijack the metabolism of the cell into making new viruses and or more spike protein. At the same time, treatment measures are taken to assure that there is as complete an elimination of active or smoldering COVID infection remaining in the patient. The answer from day one has always been and has been known to be by the medical community, early treatment approach equals safe and effective natural immunity. Natural immunity has been proven to be so strong, effective, and long lasting. And early treatment protocols exist. They've existed for almost 2 years now. And the organizations that we adore and support, FLCCC, PIC, AAPS, and the AFLDS. These guys are relentless in advocating for and promoting the early treatment protocols that are needed to save lives. They have spoken to key organizations, to government officials, to government bodies, and now they are mainly focused on educating the individual because we have got to save ourselves.
That's powerful, Bernadette. Thank you so much for bringing all of this to our attention. These organizations and a growing number of doctors are going to stand with you, the consumer, you, the person that's watching this, and stand up for your rights to be free. If you are being threatened by your job, my final parting words are do not quit. Ask for informed consent. And then after you've documented that they're not providing you with the information you need to make a good decision, you then file your religious exemption or other kind of exemption. Thank you for your attention and God bless.
God bless. Thank you, Dr. Paul. Can I add just one more word?
Absolutely.
I want to encourage everybody who is facing a mandate and facing being fired despite the religious exemption that they filed. All of us as individuals need to pull together. If you have friends or family that are in that situation, let's all support each other. Let's reach out to the community. Let's do what it takes to help people through this difficult time. We're going to get through to the other side. The tide is turning. Truth is going to win. Freedom will win. Health will win. But there's some people who are going to be in very difficult times coming up, and let's all support each other through it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Bernadette.
Thank you.
Help me spread the truth and share this on social media and with your friends at doctorsandscience.com. I look forward to running with you against the wind. Go to our website, doctorsandscience.com, sign up, donate if you can, and let's make this the weekly show the nation's been waiting for. I'm Dr. Paul.